Okay, so I'm very glad to have such an opportunity to present my recent work on weak measurements. And I'm glad that there are still so many people here, although my talk is delayed. So my talk is about how to protect weak measurements against systematic error. And this talk is based on my recent archive preprint. It is this one, 1605.019040. Okay. So I will first talk about the weak value application, and also the maximum likelihood estimation. Then I will apply the results to weak measurements and consider the systematic error on the decoherence for both standard weak measurement and the post-selected weak measurement. Then I will show a numerical example to illustrate these results. So first, let me introduce a little bit of weak value application. So in a weak measurement, usually a system and a probe is coupled, and then the coupling is very small, and this is why it is called a weak measurement. Now, suppose we have a system initially in the state psi and a probe initially in a state phi. Then, after the weak coupling, the joint state of the system and the probe becomes such an integral state. Now, if we post-select the system to some specific state, star f, that is, if I observed the system and only selected state, only selected the result that the system is in a state star f, then the probe will collapse to such a state. When g is sufficiently small, phi f can be written in such a form. Here, the key is that in this phi f, the state is determined by such a value a w called weak value, which is defined here. And the interesting thing here in weak value is that it can be quite large. That is, if psi f and psi I has very very little overlap, then this aw can be very large. And second, it can also be complex. It can have a real part and also an imaginary part. So this is how the weak value is different from the usual eigenvalue. Now, if we measure an observable n on the collapsed probe state, then we will have an average measurement result, which is given in such a form. We can see that both the real part and the imaginary part of the value will play a role in the measurement result. And we can see that if aw is very large, then this measurement result will also be very large, and generally it can be much larger than the eigenvalues of A. And this is why it is called a weak value amplification. For example, if here this G is P and this M is Q, that is, if this G here, A is coupled to the momentum P, and if we measure the position Q on the probe state, then we will see that the shift of the position will have such a form, which is determined by both the real part and the imaginary part of the value AW. And then the shift of the momentum will be determined only by the imaginary part of the weak value. And of course, these two shifts can be very large. Now we want to apply weak measurement to quantum metrology. And in quantum metrology, the estimation strategy that we usually use is maximum likelihood estimation. So I would like to review a little bit about maximum likelihood estimation here. So suppose we are given a probability distribution PG, which is dependent on the parameter G, and we want to estimate the parameter G. Then the spirit of maximum likelihood estimation is to find the most likelihood, the most likely G condition on the measurement results, and we use that most likely G as the estimate of G. Suppose we do such an experiment, and we have the result k, a total of nk times. Then the likelihood function is defined as the product of the probabilities of the measurement results. And of course, we can also take the logarithm form of this likelihood function. And now, if we want to maximize this likelihood function, then we just need to take the derivative of this likelihood function or its logarithm and let it equal to zero. This gives the equation for the maximum likelihood estimation. Now, the problem is that in a real experiment, due to some noises, we usually have such a distribution of the measurement results that is slightly different or deviated from the theoretical one, which I denoted as PG0 experiment, EXP, here. So, this can be slightly different, deviated from PKG, which is the theoretical distribution. Then the estimate of G can also deviate a little bit from the true value G0. So after many such measurements, a systematic error will occur. So, what is the systematic error induced by such a deviation in the probability distribution? We assume that the deviation is very small. Then we can write this PKXG as the sum of PKG and a deviation QKG. So QKG is the deviation of the probability distribution, and which we assume is very small. Then we can plug it into this function and this equation. And then if we also expand G to the first order, that is, if we write G as G0 plus delta G, and then we will have such an equation. Then after some calculation, we will finally find that it has such a form, which shows that the systematic error is determined by the derivative of the relative entropy between the experimental distribution and the theoretical distribution. And here, this FPG is the fishing information of the probability distribution. So the systematic error is determined by these two quantities. Okay. So what's the difference between the systematic error and the fishing information? We know that there have been a lot of papers talking about the fishing information in weak measurement, and many papers started this problem and said that because of the post-selection, then some fishing information will be lost because the fishing information is proportional to the amount of the data. So discarding some data may lose some fishing information. Of course, Justin and I showed that actually by optimizing the post-selection and the pre-selection of the system, we can suppress that loss of fishing information to be negligible. More. And the measurement will still approach the Heisenberg limit. And this is about the fishing information. But we can also consider another problem is that whether there is any any error that is not proportional to the amount of the data. So if there is such some kind of this error, then we will be able to suppress the, that error by weak value amplification without suffering the post selection, the low post selection probability issue. Okay, so now let's look at this Kramer raw bound again. Here, the Kramer raw bound actually have these two terms. Most of the previous research was focused on the first term, that is the phishing information. And actually, there is also another term here, that is the systematic error. When the estimator is unbiased, then this term will become zero. And we only need to focus on the phishing information, which characterizes the variance. But if the estimator is not unbiased, say, for example, if we have some decoherence on the system or the probe, then the systematic error will occur. But from this equation, from this form of systematic error, compared with this phishing information, we can see that this systematic error is not proportional to n. So this gives us two implications. And the first is that we cannot suppress the random noise, we cannot suppress the systematic error by just increasing the number of measurements as we do for suppressing random noise. So we need some other methods to suppress the systematic error. The second is that if weak value amplification can reduce the systematic error, then the post-selection probability will not affect this reduction. Okay, now let's see whether we can really suppress the systematic error in weak measurements by the weak value amplification. First, let's consider weak measurements with decoherence. So here we have, as usual, we have a coupling between the system and the probe, and we also have a coupling or interaction between the probe and the bars or the environment. We can imagine that because the probe is used to measure the system, so it is necessary to be exposed to some environment or some macro world. So in this case, it is very easy to suffer some decoherence. Okay, now. If we denote the initial state of the system and the probe and the environment as rho s, rho d, and rho e, then we will have the joint state as such a form in the absence of the decoherence. And if there is some decoherence, we will have the second form, which deviates from the decoherence free case by such a term. Okay, and when there is no post selection on the system, we will have the system state. The probe state will be something like this. The equation 18, so it will be displaced by such a term that is proportional to the expectation value of A, and also the commutator between G and rho D. And in the presence of decoherence, we will have an additional displacement, which is induced by the decoherence term. And here, HD prime is a reduced Hamiltonian of the probe. Now, if we measure some orthonormal basis k on the probe, then we will have probability distributions for both the decoherence free case and for the case with decoherence. which are given by these two formulas. And the difference between them is also this decoherence term. And then with these two equations, we can plug it into this equation, the systematic error equation. Then we can have the systematic error have such a form. This equation looks complex, but the key point here is that we can see that there is no there is no weak value of A here. There is no weak value of A here. There is only an expectation value of A here, and also an L square of expectation value A here. And and the weak value of the probe observable H prime and G, because both of them are quadratic in the numerator and the denominator, so they also cannot express the systematic error here. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't understand the notation of that's the same.
Which one?
Yeah, G double and the H E prime double.
This one?
Yeah, and also the equation 24.
Okay.
This one is that the G times the capital G is a no operator. Then it's a rho D.
Yes.
G is that the.
Yeah, capital G is an observable of the probe. Capital G is. This is capital G. This is capital G. Yeah, this one. Okay.
Then in such a case, is a G double is that the same sort of Brown cap. Then this is a trace of certain G times the rho D. Then this is the real number. But this is the imaginary part of that G double K.
You mean
P zero maybe?
Which one?
Is the equation 25 is that the imaginary part of the G double?
Yes.
Why is that this is the complex number of that the equation 24?
Yes, this is a complex number, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because let's say this GWK is equal to K G rho D rho D. Yeah. So, for example, if rho D is a pure state, let's say it's a pure state, something like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then this GW K will be equal to K G D, just the usual weak value. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just generalize it to the density matrix. Yeah. Okay. So this is for the standard weak measurement that is without any post-selection on the system. Now, let's consider the post-selected weak measurement. If we post-select the system to some state psi f, then the probe state after the post-selection can be written in such a form. It looks a little bit weird. It should be something like a commutator here. Yeah. There is some problem here. It should be this G rho D should be a commutator. Okay. And in the presence of decoherence on the probe, we will have an additional term that is induced by the decoherence, which is this one. And from this, we can obtain the probability distribution for the decoherence-free case, and also the probability distribution for the case with decoherence. And the difference of them, and the difference between them is this decoherence-induced term. Okay. And still, from these two distributions, we can obtain this derivative of the relative entropy and also the fishing information. Then we can obtain the systematic error, which is such a form. Okay, so this form is although looks similar from the previous one for the standard weak measurement. This is for the standard weak measurement, and this is for the post-selected weak measurement. But there is a very important thing here. That is, we can see that in the numerator of this delta GP, it is proportional to AW, to the weak value AW, or linear with the weak value AW. But its denominator is proportional to the square of the weak value. So in this case, we can see that the denominator can be much larger than the numerator, and the increase of the denominator is about AW, the order is AW. So in this case, we can see that this systematic error can be much smaller than this delta GN. And the suppression is of the order AW. So this is the suppression of the systematic error by weak value. Okay.
Just to make sure I follow up. So what you mean is that if AW is made large, this number will be bigger.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
Can you put back to the non-post-selected case?
This one.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Okay. So you have a 1/1 expectations.
Yes. Right.
And that's compared to weak value divided by weak value squared in the post-selected case.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so this theoretical issue is that we can suppress the systematic error of weak measurement induced by the decoherence on the probe by using the weak value amplification. Okay. Okay. But there is a problem here. That is, do we really need to use the weak value amplification to suppress the systematic error? Maybe there is some simpler way. For example, here, this is for the standard weak measurement. If we have some way to choose some proper measurement basis, so that and also proper probe state, so that this weak value HDW prime K is real, then this imaginary part will be equal to zero. Then actually, we can also spread the systematic error without using the post-selection. So why do we need to use the post-selection here? And also, we can also do that we cannot do this for the GW because we still need a non-zero imaginary part of GWK so that the fishing information is not zero. Okay, so how about we use some post-selection and or some measurement basis of the probe to make this HDW prime to be real. Of course, if we really know what the HDW prime is, then we can do that. So in this case, actually, we do not use possession. But in practice, usually the coupling between the probe and the environment is very complex. Usually, we cannot have full information about the decoherence. So in that case, we cannot know very exactly what this HD prime is. Instead, here in the post-selected weak measurement case, we are expressing the systematic error by using the weak value of the system, which we know very well. So in this case, regardless of what the decoherence on the probe is, we can always suppress the systematic error by post-selecting the system. So this means that the weak value amplification is a kind of universal approach to suppress the systematic error. So this is why we should use the weak value amplification to suppress the systematic error. Okay. So yeah, so this is what I said just now. Okay, finally, I would like to show a simple numerical example. That is, if we have a qubit coupled to a qubit system and coupled to a qubit probe, the qubit probe is coupled to a bosonic mode environment. Then we have such a Hamiltonian, and also we assume that the environment is initially in the thermal equilibrium state, rho E. Then after a short time t, and the joint state of the system and the probe evolves to such a state, which is a mixed state, and the in the 5fn is defined here. Okay. And also we choose the initial state of the system to be the plus state, that is the eigenstate of the sigma x corresponding to the eigenvalue plus one, and I also prepare the probe state as the plus state, and we post-select the system to such a state, and then we can calculate this is the weak value, which is approximately proportional to the inverse of delta when delta is very small. So when delta is very small, we can see that this weak value is very large. The measurement basis that we choose for the probe is such a basis. And this is a figure for the ratio of the systematic error for different delta. And we can see that this figure, the suppression of the systematic error is almost exactly the inverse of the weak value. And this is for different G. And here, the delta we choose is 10 to minus 3. So basically, the suppression is still just the inverse of delta. Okay. And also, this is the figure for the ratio the ratio of the systematic error for different epsilon d. And we can see that for a very large range of epsilon d, we can have such a suppression of the systematic error by post-selection.
Epsilon d was which?
Sorry?
What was epsilon d?
Epsilon d is the coefficient for the probe decoherence. Yeah, it is this one. Okay. Okay, from these examples, we can see that indeed by using some post-selection on the system, we can indeed suppress the systematic error induced by the decoherence on the probe. Okay, thank you very much.
Anyone have a question? So in your last slide, it looks like you were giving suppression of about 100 times, and it seemed like it was not changing very much as you varied the epsilon. Is there a reason that it's that issue?
You mean it's
4,000 times, I guess. Well, why are these also close to 0.001?
Second.
Why are all of those numbers on the vertical axis so close to 0.001?
Because we
see inverse weak value.
Yeah, because we chose delta to be 0.001.
Yeah, it's just the inches.
Yeah.
That's its delta there.
Right.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yeah, this is the same type of question to you. This is why is the epsilon b equal zero? This is without touching to the non-decoherence case.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that still has an error? This is not exactly equal zero.
You mean which one?
Yeah, epsilon d equal zero.
Epsilon d equal to zero?
Yeah, such kind of value.
Mm-hmm. So
why is that the non-systematic error?
Decoherence error, but not systematic error. Is that right?
Decoherence error, sorry. Yeah.
That's
it. Much more, it's an epsilon b equals that more than the such kind of second round, it's going down to the ratio of such a systematic error that can be suppressed. Then it's I don't have the intuition.
Basically, you can think it in this way. That is, at that point, actually, we do not have any systematic error. So it is kind of zero over zero. And this point is actually just the limit of the two sides. Besides that 2 point, yeah. That is, we have such a figure, which have such a plot, and this is the epsilon d. Right, equal to zero, and actually at this point it is something like zero over zero. So it can be any value, and in the vicinity of this point, it is very close to 0.001. So this point is just the limit of its vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What value is this exact value? What is the data that coming from?
Sorry?
This value, what condition coming from?
Yeah.
No, is that this is the vertical one?
You mean
They're such as the constant value? Yeah.
You mean the GP over the GN?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe such kind of some value the condition from that combination beta, theta, delta, I, g, such kind of all the combination can be merged to that this point. This point means that the
because if epsilon d is equal to zero, then it is exactly zero. The systematic error is exactly zero.
This numerical result should be wrong.
No. You can see.
It's because he's plotting the ratio.
Yeah.
The zero over zero.
You can see that.
Yeah, then it's this kind of thing. It's an infinite number of just the zero over zero.
Okay, you can see that.
This kind of the combination.
Yeah. So this point just says that zero is also 0.001 times zero.
So it's just
that's the meaning.
So it's just the limit as some ratio, which is 0.01 times two numbers. As those numbers go to zero, is just 0.001 times
n. Yeah.
So Taylor has a question.
Yeah. If you go back to the very last slide again.
The last slide.
Yeah.
This
the
one.
Last one. Uh-huh.
Okay.
So we're showing a very narrow region here. Does this graph follow the same trend upwards infinitely and downwards infinitely if we continued on? And if so, what's the intuition there?
basically, you can think about it in this way. That is, for different epsilon d, for negative epsilon d, and for the positive epsilon d, and they will introduce different signs to delta gp and delta gn. That is, I should not say that in this way. Well, anyway, this is just how it is plotted. I mean,
so
how the plot shows.
So what's the behavior outside of the limits of this plot?
What is behavior of what?
Outside of the limits of this plot, outside of the range,
Basically, if epsilon d is very large, then maybe this suppression would be broken, because we still need to assume that epsilon d is very small. Yeah.
Okay.
So this is a first order approximation.
So this is the only regime that's valid. It breaks down if you leave this regime.
And this is a regime that's easily obtained from this space.
This regime is actually already very large.
What's that?
I mean, you mean the regime of epsilon d, right?
The regime we're being showed. Realistic regime.
Well, yes, much larger than the realistic regime. Yeah. Basically, say we just need to consider something like 10 to minus 3 or 10 to minus 4. But here, I show that for 10 to minus 1, we can also have such an expression. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, another question is such kind of so that in any regime, is such the approximation was used in your sort of in your calculation.
Okay.
This is the validity of this approximation.
Yes. So basically, we need two assumptions. One is that this G is very small. That is the weak value and the weak measurement limit. And another one is that this epsilon d is very small. That is, it is a small decoherence.
This numerical plot is surely wrong. Then the g is a 10 to the minus 5. And also the epsilon d, if that's the order, is 0.0, 0.1, such kind of 10 to the minus 1 order. Then it's a 4 order differences.
When we were plotting this figure, we did not start from the first order approximation, but we directly start from the Schrodinger equation. That is, we simulate the process of this evolution very exactly. That is, we simulate this evolution without any approximation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this figure, this plot is exact. So if you want to apply the results to this figure, then maybe you just need to choose a very short range between 0.01. Between 0.0.
This numerical result is given by the. Without approximation,
yes.
The Fourier evolves that kind of data.
Yeah.
How to calculate that ratio of the delta G such kind of data?
So in that case, we just need to. So you know that first of all, I have a Hamiltonian, right?
Yeah.
Then I can calculate the evolution for the state for both the system and the probe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I can trace out the system to have the probe state.
Yeah.
Then I can calculate the probability distribution of measuring the probe state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I can use. I can use this equation to work out the G, right? Then I can subtract the original G from the solution obtained from this equation. Then that is the systematic error. That is, I can exactly calculate the estimate of G from this equation. Yeah.
So you use the maximum likelihood as your best estimate.
Right, exactly.
And that lets you pick out the biases.
Yes.
Because you know the true value, simulated it from the true value.
Yeah.
Now you have the best estimate for maximum likelihood.
Yeah.
And in the two cases, the ratio of difference is suppressed.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-huh.
So it means that,
Now this maximum likelihood, what distribution are you using?
You mean?
You have this PK of G, so numerically, what is that?
Okay, so, so this is calculated from, so this is calculated from this this Hamiltonian and also the initial state that is plus and plus for the system and probe qubit, and also the thermal state for the environment. Then we can calculate the distribution of the measurement results.
What's K in this case?
The K is. Yeah, it is this one. That is K. Here, this one, this K is equal to 0 and 1. And we slightly deviated this K to have this measurement basis. And this theta in the figure is equal to pi over 8. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions? If not, I think our speaker is here.